Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today, we'll be wandering through three exhibitions currently showing in the UK. In Peckham, we'll head to the roof of a car park for a sculpture park by Richard Wentworth. We'll go wandering around Portland in South Dorset, aided by new work by Katrina Palmer. And we'll explore the senses in Shiraz Hoshiari's new show, Smell of First Snow. And who's the man to tell me about this triple art bill? It's the one and only Ossian Ward, head of content at the Listen Gallery, of course. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Ossian. I'd love for one day for the roles to be reversed. Sometimes I feel like I'm coming on the Ossian Ward show.
Well, you know, invite me back and we'll swap places.
We'll swap places.
Yeah.
What would be your theme tune for the Ossian Ward show? Are you a fan of things like the Two Runnies?
I like old-fashioned jingles. Like, I would like to have a proper jingle next time
for
I
you.
Come in, like a da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, some sort of Ossian bulletin.
And here it is, it's Ossian Ward. Okay, like a sort of an urgent news bulletin type of thing. With like a trumpet fanfare.
Yeah, okay. Maybe something more relaxed.
Something more relaxed.
A jingle.
Like 24-hour arts news. Come on, you need to know this stuff. Okay, well, maybe our producers can be working on that. Yeah. Holly Fisher was behind the glass today. I mean, she's hardly got anything on. I mean, in terms of work, this is going downhill fast.
Snap to it.
Let's snap to it. Let's talk about Katrina Palmer, End Matter.
Yeah.
We're going out of London. We're going down to the south, to the West Country, to the South Coast, to Portland in Dorset. Talk us through Katrina Palmer, what she's done before.
I wasn't really familiar with her work. And then, you know, Art Angel are the producers of this work, and they're famous for doing things in London or in the, you know, in amazing spaces that you would never have been to in London. So I guess this is them stepping out of the normal environment to the extent where you're actually wandering around Portland Bill, which is a bit of Dorset that I've been to and I've visited. But, you know, there's nothing really there to do unless you're a sailor or something. And so you start off with this kind of walking tour, an audio tour that leads you from Portland, from a little shop where you're kind of introduced to the ideas behind the show. And it's called The Loss Adjusters. And that's really, it's almost like you're walking into an office of these bureaucratic people who are documenting where bits of Portland stone get taken. So they're adjusting for the loss of the Portland stone that's taken off their island and built into the BBC or whatever, you know, is built out of Portland stone. So it references the history of the island, but actually they're also adjusting for the fact that, you know, what happens with this loss? What happens when the stone never comes back? So they're this false office is meant to be documenting in pictures what happens to Portland Stone. And there's lots of other interesting histories that kind of come out of this, you know, the convicts who were there to bash up the stone and take it away, or the fact, which is where it gets more mysterious on the walking tour, is the fact that maybe this loss is adjusted for by a person's body or by, you know, the weight of a person. So there's a kind of murder mystery element to it as well.
So it's probably, so it's immersive, and that's highly unusual as well. I mean, Art Angel are great at this sort of thing, aren't they? Experiential or kind of jaw-dropping, or it's very much, if not performance, it is performative. And you have to interact with a lot of the projects that they put on.
Absolutely. And you're the one who's performing this particular journey. So you go from this office, then you wander down the hill through past the cricket ground. They give you a map, and then you're suddenly in this quarry with all this Portland stone, and then you're in a cemetery surrounded by, this church built out of slabs of Portland stone, and all the tombstones are made out of Portland stone. So there's kind of a richness to where you're walking while you've got your headphones on, kind of immersed in this world. And it gets darker and darker, even though it was a very sunny day. It kind of gets
sort of morally dubious. And it sounds like sort of biennale art, if you know what I mean. There's something really that's kind of, it's all about the place that it's in, but it's about sort of maybe themes of it. It could be an international theme here. It could be kind of anything. It's taking big topics.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know, not putting any punches.
No, and I think, you know, given where it is, you know, the fact that you might be a tourist wandering around, you're not likely to sort of chance upon it. So it's in an interesting location. But I think more than that, the work is rich enough to to allow for that. So there's an accompanying book, and I think there's a radio play. It feels like a radio play. It feels like you're in a kind of
serial
Radio 4. Yeah, yeah. You're really engaged with it. I mean, it does turn a bit pornographic at the end, and it kind of gets a bit hardcore when you're in the cemetery and hearing about these bodies that might be replacing the stone or somehow. But it's kind of a metaphorical journey. So by the end of it, you're not feeling depressed or gloomy or kind of a bit weirded out or pervy. You're actually thinking about you know, this island, what it's there for, and you are surrounded by these huge blocks of white stone kind of just being carved out of the earth, and you're in a piece of sculpture or in a piece of installation art suddenly, and then you're walking back out through a field. You know, it's kind of magical.
Sounds amazing. We do have a little clip of this before we move on to the next. This is Katrina Palmer's new work for Art Angel. This is down in Portland in Dorset.
I'm facing south. St. George's is on my left, and I can see the edge of the quarry ahead of me. The land disappears. Can't get any closer. I can see the gravestones. There are no inscriptions.
And that was a piece from Katrina Palmer's Loss Adjusters, which is a sort of performative, immersive, something between a radio play and a piece of sort of performance art or performative art down in Portland. That does sound haunting from the bit that we heard there.
Yeah, it's quite moving.
And we're going to move on. We're going to look at wide. We're going to Southeast London now. We're going to Peckham. We're going to look at a thing called Wide Walls. This is Bold Tendencies, who art lovers, art spotters will know for perhaps just that. They're Bold Tendencies, and they're a group of curators and people that put things on. Richard Wentworth is being involved in this place, who is a sometime listen gallery artist, I think. A man with a great and august history behind him. What is he up to down in Peckham?
So, I mean, Bold Tendencies is like a sculpture park in a car park. Yeah. So usually on top of the car park, you get these kind of big structures. Or last year there was this drone that kind of flew off from a balloon on the top. So all kinds of different things. It's been going about 6-7 years now. And Richard's kind of dispensed with all of that. So there's nothing there to see. Apart from on the floor, he's painted these snaking silver aluminium lines all around the car park. And they're sort of going this way and that. They go up the walls, they're sort of going down onto the next level of the car park. So he's changed the dynamic a lot, and I think he A, didn't want to make a big piece of sculpture, and B, you know, he likes the idea of the urban environment. His whole career, in fact, has been about looking at these lost corners of London, or lost corners of where you look and actually there's something magical there. You know, there's a kind of art of the unmonumental that he's very much a proponent of. So here you get the idea that you're following this kind of snaking path, but, you know, you're not quite sure where. I think he likens it to a sort of squiggle or a doodle that sort of follows, you can follow, or it follows you around this car park. But it's very much about the kind of grittiness of Peckham and the urban environment. It's not meant to kind of take you away. It's meant to make you focus where you are.
And that's an interesting idea. The idea of Richard Wentworth is always described as a sculptor, and he is. But it's that idea of making sculpture where he maybe teases. He gives you a line and you take it for a walk. I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the perfect idea. The Paul Klee's idea. And I think you know, he does that in his daily life. You know, we're constantly receiving images from Richard of, you know, his daily walks and things he sees. So this is much the same. This is kind of focusing on your environment. I think it's interesting. Bold Tendencies as a project has developed and morphed. And so there are two other exhibitions downstairs on the other level. But what I've always had the problem with, and is still the problem today, is that the bar on the roof is kind of super successful, this Frank's Campari bar. Yeah. And so I always worry that people are kind of on their way to the bar and not looking at what's around them, or not looking at the work, which has always been my kind of criticism of it. So you could say the same about this, but I think that in the very fact of walking up there, Richard is focusing your attention back on where you're going. He's not stopping you with a great big sculpture, but he's making you think about the journey, even though most people are just headed for quick cheeky Campari and a sunset.
Well, it is a fantastic, it is an amazing place. Yeah. It feels like a serendipitous corner of forgotten London when you're up there on that car park and thank God it hasn't been pulled down. It's a great space to show art. It's a great space to have a cheeky Campari.
Yeah.
I hope those things aren't mutually exclusive, but I'm reminded of the, you know, V&A's Saatchi & Saatchi and, you know, an Ace Cafe with a quite nice museum attached.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way, and it's especially during something like Freeze Week in October, where a lot of people are lured down to that part of London. I mean, less so now. Yeah. They need to be lured because it's such a strong art sort of region of the city. But I guess there is that sense as well, that it's a nice reason to get people out of either East London or Mayfair, right?
Yeah, and I hope, you know, Richard Wentworth is a sort of bigger name than they've called on before, perhaps, but I hope they keep up the art portion of it to the extent that it doesn't get overshadowed by the bar, because there is now another rooftop bar right next to it on the Bussey building. And, you know, Peckham's gentrifying in a way that East London did about 5-10 years ago, when suddenly the influx of students and, you know, young people and creative people doing cultural entrepreneurial things suddenly might turn into a kind of, you know, now we're all into property and chain bars. So I hope it doesn't go that way. But certainly at the moment, it's still, you know, an interesting place to go and see art.
And we've said it before, probably on this program, we'll say it again, let Richard Wentworth take you for a walk. Let him stand on his line and let it take you for a walk. That is Richard Wentworth at Bold Tendencies in Peckham. The show is called Wide Walls. We're going to end with Shereza Hoshyari. This is Smell of First Snow. What a fantastic title for that. That's at the Listen, Ossian. And title aside, what is there to wonder at in this sort of first snow of summer, of the English summer?
She's been quite mysterious about the title. I think, you know, it's evocative and it's poetic. I think it might relate to a piece of music, but she's not telling. And in a similar way, when you're confronted by her paintings, there's a sort of numinous nebula of, you know, some atmosphere coming at you, or maybe you're in space or, you know, something cosmic. But actually, there's also a kind of a grid or a veil of tiny markings on it, which are words actually saying I exist or I don't exist, or, but you can't really read them. They're kind of stylized, or they're repeated so often that they become sort of meaningless. So you have this stream of language actually over the top of these things. So there is a lot of poetry in her work. She's now sort of coupled the painterly work, which funnily enough, she's become better known for, even though she started out as a sculptor alongside Richard Deacon and Anish Kapoor and those other 80s guys, all guys. And she did start as a sculptor, so she's kind of going back to that as well. She has these quite beautiful structures that cast shadows on the wall. These sort of, they're also lines, taking a line for a walk, as we were talking about before. But she's kind of made white three-dimensional sculptures that are hanging off the wall but give these amazing shadows underneath, and brick sculptures in the middle of the gallery that sort of coil and ascend like a tower, but then also sort of let the light through. So there's a lot to do with transparency and gateways and doorways, and, you know, it's quite poetic, but you know, you're never meant to kind of get it. You're meant to sort of be in the atmosphere and sort of look at it, but you're not meant to sort of think, oh yeah, I've seen that, I've understood it.
Yeah, and I guess it has that gauzy, nebulous nature that you were talking of. The temptation is to get up close to these things and try and make sense of it in any language almost. But I guess the tip is to stand back and let it wash over you slightly.
Yeah. And she's arranged it in such a way that actually in each room there's a kind of conversation going on. So it's not lots of paintings in one room and lots of sculpture in another. She's made this conversation. So you go from three-dimensional to two-dimensional. You go from a dark painting to a light painting. So there's actually more to take in each room than otherwise, you know, would have been if you just put all the paintings in one room and put them one after another. And there's a difference in the language, but you can see that they all link together, and she's using things in the real world. So you might recognise a kind of swirl of smoke, or you might recognise a sort of a ribbon shape, or these bricks which look like, you know, ancient Sumerian architecture. But actually, when you kind of try and fix them in place, you can't. You think, oh, that looks, doesn't quite look like that, or, you know. So she's managed to work on a level that's both abstract and sort of evocative, but without ever seeming like she's doing the same thing, or, you know, she's going through the same motions. And each one of the the paintings, these kind of nebulous things, change with each application of the veil or this the grid of words. So they're quite sort of transportive, magical works.
An artist like Shirase, how does that work with the? It's an interesting. I'm always interested in the relationship with the gallery. The Liston Gallery has been a sculpture gallery, mm-hmm. most famously so since its foundation in the 60s. When an artist changes their practice a little bit and says, you know what, I'm going to do this. Do you think it's a bit like when an artist says, well, for my next album, I'm going heavy metal.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever. It's a funny thing.
Everyone
I'm always interested.
Their head
in, everyone goes, sorry, mate. Actually, but presumably, I mean, obviously, an artist's practice is a strange, magical, and mysterious thing. I wonder how that works when an artist, you know, subtly and slowly changes their practice from sculpture to painting.
Well, I mean, that's exciting because it gives you something else to work with. I think if they stick to their guns, you might think, come on, you know, move on. But that's also an interesting question because I think people associate our gallery or, you know, certain galleries with certain types of work. And I think in order to not feel like you're also stuck in a rut, you need to move on. You need to look at different artists. And you know, looking after an artist over a period of many years, over decades, you want to be supportive. You want to kind of help nurture them and move them on and keep them driving forward so that they don't get stuck in any particular point in their career. They keep shifting onto the next thing. So, you know, whether it's painting or sculpture, also you get to know the artist and you think, actually, it's their vision behind it. It probably, you know, so long as they've got a mastery of the materials as well, is going to work whatever sort of material they use. And increasingly artists are using everything from iPads to, you know, as we've heard today, sort of audio to video, and you know, there's no limits anymore.
It's fascinating stuff. It's lovely to talk through that show, which is Shirase Hoshiari, Smell of First Snow. That's at the Liston Gallery, around the corner from Monocle HQ on Bell Street. We heard about Wide Walls, which is Richard Wentworth at Bold Tendencies in Peckham. And first of all, we kicked off with Katrina Palmer and that wonderful spooky clip. It's called The Loss Adjusters, and it's an Art Angel project, which is down in Portland, in Dorset. Ossian Ward, as ever, Ossian Ward from the Liston Gallery, as ever, thank you very much for joining us. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher, and my researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again tomorrow for a country music showdown with Baylen Leonard. But for now, thank you very much for tuning in.